It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of May. A ton of news again. A what if that at the time I was convinced would win the Jazz an NBA title? Was I right or was I wrong? And some Last Dance thoughts left over from the weekend. It is coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and all sorts of hopefully fun things to make it better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in. I thanked you yesterday. Our numbers are up, and appreciate you taking the time to listen and continuing to make this a part of your day in this crazy world we're living in right now. Tell friends, by the way, each of you, tell your friends that we're still doing this. We're having fun. We're enjoying ourselves, and we'd like them to join us as well. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Have you checked out the best tasting protein bar, the healthiest protein bar out there? Go to builtbar.com, promo code Locked On to get yourself a $10 off your newest box of Built, or your first box of Built Bar. Funny little, you gotta love our hosts at Locked On. These guys are so creative. They do amazing things. The Red Wings had on, Locked On Red Wings, had on Darren McCarty on the show, and then turned it into this fun thing after meeting with Locked On Red Wings Department of Pain. They sent out a press release. Ethan Smith has avoided punishment for lifting weights during the show Tuesday, featuring four-time Stanley Cup champion Darren McCarty. Smith responded, "The Built Bar I ate before the episode gave me so much energy I had no choice but to start ripping some iron. While I did set a personal record on the bench press, I did not mean to disrespect Mac." And they go on, "When I first saw him throw 245 pounds, I was furious," said Locked On Red Wings host and DOP commissioner Nolan Bianchi. "But then I heard he had just tried Built Bar's new chocolate cookie dough flavor, and I immediately went to Built Bar, entered the promo code Locked On at checkout, and got 10% off my first box of Built Bars so that I could feel as good as Ethan." Fun with Built Bar in the Locked On Podcast Network. Love that. All right. There's a bunch of news out there. There was a really subtle one. Front Office Sports had it today. The Sinclair Media, which owns, you know, a million TV stations and also bought a bunch of regional sports networks from Disney and Fox, in a, I think it was their investor call, Front Office Sports says that Chris Ripley said in that investor call that most of the rights agreements include a minimum game requirement in the NHL and the NBA, and he believes that the NHL and the NBA will meet those minimum requirements. Now, that's newsworthy to me. The NHL, particularly because everything I've read about the NHL is that the NHL is going to go straight to the playoffs. If they're going straight to the playoffs, that's then that I don't think that they end up matching those numbers or find or are able to. But if they don't go, if the NBA is going to meet those, that means we're playing, you know, according to him, his expectation is that the NBA will play some regular season games before we head into the playoffs to meet those minimum requirements. So I thought that was a newsworthy note. Front Office Sports had it. Sinclair Media CEO Chris Ripley said he believes the NBA and the NHL will meet their minimum requirements for their regional sports events. There's some other news notes out here. Major League Baseball restarted their season. They're trying to do it between July 1 and July 4. An 82-game regional schedule, which, for frankly, for baseball would be pretty awesome. Make 80, you know, 162 games is a lot. It's hard to find the individual value of one game. In fact, you always talk about winning a series instead of a game when you're covering baseball. Now, all of a sudden, the games would matter. DH regional schedule, so the AL East would play the NL East in games and play in division, but nothing else. 14-team postseason, starting July 1 through July 4. Now, here's where things get really interesting, and the NBA is going to go down this road a little bit here as well, and that is basically building brand new collective bargaining agreements in this new world. And that's a different game. So baseball has presented a 50-50 revenue split with the players. What's so unique to that is that baseball does not have its salaries tied to league revenues. NBA, we all know, you know, the players get 52% of the league, you know, BRI revenue. We talk about that all the time. That's how you form the salary cap. NFL has something similar to that. Major League Baseball and NHL does too. Major League Baseball is the league that does not do that. They do not tie the salaries to league revenues. And here the owners are for the first time trying to tie salaries to league revenues. And this is going to be a real battle because the players union is going to be fearful that this is the beginning of a salary cap in baseball, which they probably are going to try to avoid at all costs. But this gets, you know, we're into new, this is, you know, different elements, right? Like, and I, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch how this all plays out. It's obviously you can be super depressed about all of it, but on the other end, it's like, how are we going to make games entertaining without fans? How are we going to give fans interaction? What are we going to do when we do put fans into arena? How are we going to restructure the financial systems inside these leagues? These are all the questions that are going to be answered and that frankly are pretty, to me, fascinating to watch play out and see what happens with them. So we'll keep an eye on that. They're going to present that to the players union, and then we're going to have a labor dispute in the middle of a pandemic, which is just going to be nuts. But it's not going to be the first or the last of the labor disputes inside the pandemic. The only place where we won't have a labor dispute inside the pandemic is in collegiate sports. And then collegiate sports will get interesting because of what's going to be the ramifications if they don't play. The Pac-12, Clay Helton, the head coach at USC, made a comment yesterday. There's just news. Like, if you just kind of, it's so interesting how there's just news all the time right now. Made a comment the other day that maybe we'll only play in conference games. So suddenly you're not playing, or, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't just restructure. If college football goes off, I suspect that we'll be completely redoing the schedules of all of the teams. I know that sounds crazy. Obviously, there's a structure inside conferences that's built. But if you're USC, I'm going to guess, and you're trying to play a game that's not a conference game, your choices are Fresno State, San Diego State, right? They got to be driving. And in Utah's choices are going to be Weber State, Utah State, Southern Utah. And suddenly, you know, I know Utah State just did a deal. I think it was with Oregon instead of Utah. You're going to just blow up a bunch of these deals and redo things is my guess. I don't have no backing on that, but it's my guess. A few other notes. Premier League is going to start June 1st, they're hoping. So that's in Europe. And then AHL has canceled their minor league season. That's the minor league hockey. And all these leagues that are dependent on fans to come into the league and are the revenue. So all of minor league baseball as well are just canceling their seasons. Minor league baseball hasn't canceled their season, but that's it. It doesn't do you any good to play without fans to draw revenue if you don't have a TV contract. And so AHL minor league hockey has no TV contract. So they have, you know, playing games without fans makes no sense to them. And so they are shutting it down. So that's kind of where we are in things. I did find just on a, you know, real world note, you know, trying to figure out, navigate why are some people feeling this and you're feeling that and you're just, you know, and I've said this, I think, numerous times on this pod. I talk to people all across the country every day and it's just so fascinating the different feeling depending where you are, right? I talk to my friends who are in New York and LA and they think, you know, we're playing golf and they think we're insane, and Northern California and they're in the midst of it. And then you talk to other people, other places across the country. I thought this was a really interesting note. Only 33 in a recent Axios poll, only 33% of people know someone who's tested positive. So obviously I know Rudy, Donovan, Doris Burke, right? In that world. But and then I do know a bunch of other people here in Utah. But only 33% of people say they know someone who's tested positive. That's an incredibly low number. And I think explains a little bit, you know, not to get too deep and philosophical, but it kind of relates to like how we are with war in this day and age. You know, we've been in kind of a constant state of war with military forces since 91, but the amount of people that are touched by it is way lower than it's ever been. Unlike World War One, World War Two, and Vietnam, there's such a small amount of our population and coming from just such specific groups that it doesn't touch universally. It's interesting that this doesn't seem to have touched universally. Today's show, as we mentioned, brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is rebuilding what you think of a energy bar and what your experience is with taste and nutrition. Cookie dough, it is true. The cookie dough bar is back. You can order it right now, made with real dark chocolate. It's the one that caused the Red Wings all of the problem. It's a retirement comeback. It's the third retirement comeback. It's kind of like of the Built Bars. And the cookie dough bar is out there right now. Built Bar has done interesting things. They have their bars with nuts, like banana nut bread or German chocolate cake or coconut almond. And then they also have their nut-free bars, mint brownie delight, double chocolate mousse, banana cream pie. I had the orange bar, orange chocolate cream bar yesterday while I was playing golf. Pretty good. Not quite a dreamsicle, but pretty darn close. Orange chocolate cream, I did not think was going to, I was like, all right, we'll try this. I was super surprised how good it was. So check that out. 110 calories, 15 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. That's the amazing thing, right? So it's about a third as many calories as, call it half as many calories as the leading bar. It's carbs. Instead of 38 carbs, you're getting 5. Instead of 21 grams of sugar, you're getting 4. That's what makes Built Bar so outstanding, with their marshmallowy texture and super taste. Go to builtbar.com/ and then go enter in the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first box. Go right now to builtbar.com. Check it out. You can build your own box or get the mixed box. It's check out and put in the promo code Locked On, and cookie dough has come out of retirement. Today's show is also brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Murdoch Hyundai's got amazing deals for you going on right now. How about for the Sonata and the Tucson, 0% for 84 months? That's right, 0% for 84 months. That's just an insane deal. The Santa Fe, which we are seriously looking at and going to probably end up getting another one because we just loved our first one so much, is available for you at 0% for 72 months. Plus, they have a lineup of electric vehicles now, the Ioniq Electric. They also have a Kona Electric, which are selling super fast and actually hard to get your hands on, so jump on that really fast if you want to. They also have the Murdoch Sure program going on right now, where you can transparent out-the-door pricing quote, pre-approved online. We'll bring the test drive to you. You can be in and out in less than 60 minutes, and you never have to leave the house. Service customers request complimentary pickup and drop-off service. They're doing that for you as well. We just did that with them. And I just finished driving the Palisade. It was amazing for the bigger cars, and I'm in the new Sonata. The features are amazing. Check it out. Murdoch Hyundai. Murdoch Sure going on right now, 0% for 84 months on the Tucson, which is super, as well as the Sonata I'm driving right now. And that Sonata will blow your mind with all the features and what you can get for the value for it. It is absolutely fabulous. That's all going on at Murdoch Hyundai. Email me, dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com to let me know. And I will I will set you up with your meeting and everything you need done with a little VIP treatment. All right, what if is our features for the week on Locked On, and let's go back to February 21st, 1997. I remember this well. I was covering the Utah Jazz and absolutely positively thought this was the deal that was going to win the Jazz an NBA title. The Jazz, let's just set the scene for you. They had lost in the Western Conference Finals the year before. They came out the next year and were just amazing. Started the year 17-2. Actually lost two of their first four back-to-back losses to the Rockets early in the year that just made you go, what? Weird scheduling too, by the way. I remember they lost to the Rockets. They had 5 days off. So they lose two in a row to the Rockets. Promptly march off 15 straight. So they're 17-2. They kind of just keep moving along. Nothing too. They're 26-12 after that. So they win 11 of their next, 20. They're not playing great. Like you could see they were great. Then they won 5 straight, including an overtime win over the Rockets. They then link and have won 7 straight on February 21st. So they're 38-14. And they're great. Like, this team is just great. Mailman's killing it. Stockton's killing it. Hornacek, Brian Russell, Greg Ostertag have established themselves as a starter. Antoine Carr is doing a nice job off the bench. Shandon Anderson's this rookie that's getting some time. But the Jazz are just a little weak. Chris Morris has not quite been everything everybody wants. And Howard Eisley is scuffling. as the backup point guard, undrafted. He'd been in Minnesota the few years prior. He'd played the year before with Utah for, he was a 22% three-point shooter. I mean, he was really not an established NBA player at this point. In 96, 97, Eisley's shooting 28% from three. He's on the floor for a few minutes. Obviously, anybody who was the backup of John Stockton, you know, it's just always felt like a totally inadequate player for the Jazz. But the Jazz were 8 points per 100 possessions worse when he was on the floor. They were actually plus one when he was on the floor that season. But it was a big issue. Like, they're, you know, can we just get a little better when Stockton's off the floor was really the issue. And the Jazz swing a deal. Greg Foster, again, yesterday, our what if two. Jamie Watson, who was a young player, and a draft pick for, at the time, the 35-year-old Derek Harper. Harper is was a 6'4" point guard, shooting guard, and all of a sudden, the Jazz were going to have a backcourt of John Stockton, Jeff Hornacek, and Derek Harper. Harper, aging at that point, at 35 years old, he was still played in for the Knicks the year before and started 82 games, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 37% from three. So you're upgrading from a rookie, non-drafted, barely established NBA player in Howard Eisley to Derek Harper. Like, it's mammoth. Harper's at a lifetime 35% three-point shooter, but the 3 years in New York, he shot 37. Like, this is the deal that is going to... This is like the next Chris Mullin deal, or the next Jeff Hornacek deal. It was Jay Humphries plus. Like, it was perfect. It felt it at the time. It solved the Jazz problems. They're trading Jamie Watson, who was a young kid who wasn't going to pan out. Greg Foster, who at the time hadn't really established to what he did in the 97-98 series, and a draft pick, who cares? It was great. Like, it was the perfect deal. And the Jazz were rolling. They'd won 5 straight. They were the favorite, suddenly the favorite in the West, you were thinking. You look at who you're going to have to get through to get to the Western, to get to the, you know, finals. You're going to have to beat the Jazz swept the Clippers early, and then you've got the Lakers and Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel and Kobe Bryant, and you want that, and then you've got the Rockets, who obviously they dispatched, but that team's got Clyde Drexler, and you're going to have three, you know, which was a size problem, so now you've got three guards. It was just going to be great. And Derek Harper says there was a Utah deal, but you go live in Utah. Nothing against Utah or their fans or their team, but I don't want to live there. And he nixes the deal. I mean, a killer. And in retrospect, hard to tell, but I think a killer. He finishes that year in Dallas. And after Dallas had basically promised him that he could approve any trade when they signed him, they then actually do trade him in the offseason with Ed O'Bannon to the Orlando Magic for Dennis Scott. He had signed that July in 96, he'd signed a 2-year, about $3 million deal with Dallas. He had been with Dallas earlier in his career before he was traded by Dallas to the Knicks in 97, former first-round pick. And so he goes to Orlando the next year. So this is kind of like, what would have the Jazz got out of him with Hornacek and Stockton? And it does, you know, he ends up finishing that year in Dallas playing 30 minutes a game. He shoots 34% from three, averages 10 points a game. We probably wouldn't have needed 29 minutes out of him, but you limit the Stockton minutes a little bit. You limit the Hornacek minutes a little bit. Maybe they're not as tired. The next year he goes to Orlando. He begins to fade, but he still shoots 36% from three. He only plays 66 games as his body starts to break down. And then he goes to the Lakers and his body fully breaks down. So it's an interesting, you know, we always look at these deals like I did, and I'm sharing kind of, I remember vividly hosting a talk show then and the possibility of getting Harper and, what a massive move that I thought was going to be. I really just, it was the move that was going to, and I remember trade Jamie Watson, trade Greg Foster, give him a pick. I was on air every day pounding that, like, yes, go get this done. It was rumored, it was talked about. The other name that was rumored at the time was Chris Mullin. Was the idea that the Jazz would go get Chris Mullin. They were going to move Brian Russell for Chris Mullin, is my memory on that. Mullin at that point in time was 33 years old. He was still in Golden State. He had not been an all-star since the 92-93 year. You know, he was a dead-eye shooter that with Malone in the post could have just done amazing things. That would have been a pretty interesting move to be able to get Mullin. He faded pretty hard after that too, though. Like, he played 82 games in Indiana and then faded out the window the next few years. And I can't remember when he had all of his alcohol problems. He missed a huge, I think that was the 94-95 season when he actually missed a bunch of time for that. I'd have to check. But anyway, that was the rumor deal. My feeling on whether or not, like, would have the Derek Harper deal been that good? My instinct is yes. Like, the upgrade at that position, for Howard Eisley was pretty mammoth. If you go back and look, you know, I don't know what impacts what, but if you go back and look at the series in which the Jazz beat the Rockets, that six-game series, you know, Hornacek and Stockton both were playing just about 40 minutes a night on average, about 37 minutes a night on average. Howard Eisley actually had to his credit, had an unbelievable playoffs. Like, Howard Eisley, we would later find out, had this, like, crazy little gene about him in which somehow when the chips were on the line, he was one of the few guys that got better. Like, but you look at the NBA Finals that year, and you've got big Scottie Pippen, and you got big Michael Jordan, and they have Ron Harper, who's big and long. Like, could have Derek Harper helped with some of those bodies? I would think so. Again, Howard Eisley was amazing in the playoffs. Like, he had a 15 assists and only 4 turnovers in that finals. He shot 50% from the field in those finals. I mean, he was insanely unfazed in his 10 minutes a night of what was going on. It turned out, like, we didn't know it at the time, but this young, undrafted Boston College project who had bounced around San Antonio and Minnesota and not had a home yet, turned out to have this amazing kind of inner fortitude in big moments that made him so great. And, you know, so maybe in that sense. But anyway, that's our what if. Derek Harper, you go to Utah. Chris Mullin interplayed in that. We'll continue this series of what ifs throughout the week. So grip6.com got Quinn Snyder a gift of, because Quinn sees me wearing my Grip 6 all the time. Says, when are you getting me one? So I got, and I was jealous. I'll admit it. I was jealous because the new ultralight 2-pack is pretty sweet. So I had to go buy myself the honeycomb belt. I was wearing it yesterday golfing. I've now got myself up to 4 Grip 6 belts with 4 different, this is what's so cool about Grip 6. So I have 4 different belts and I have 4 different buckles now. And so really I can intermix it. I guess that comes out to having like 14. I don't think that math entirely works. The new ultralight series is really cool. The Horizon Granite belt is sweet. Kind of wish I added that to the list. The Vert Gunmetal belt I did get myself, and then I also got the Honeycomb belt that I thought was really, really sweet looking. They've got a new work belt series going for you as well, the Gunmetal belt. These are great if you're putting anything from concealed carry to a work belt and need something that supports. Grip 6 is unique because there's no flaps, no bulk, no holds. So they just slips in a patented little format below the buckle belt and then holds that spot. No matter your size, if you're super skinny, maybe a little bigger, Grip 6 will fit you perfectly. Right now, Grip 6 has such a good deal. I don't have any special promo code for you. Just go to grip6.com. They have an incredible deal right now, which is 2-pack builder. 2 belts, your choice, and you end up with 20% off. In the comments, if you could put Locked On Jazz, that would be great. We'd super appreciate it. But that's there for you. Go to grip6.com, check out the new ultralight series, or if you want the workman belt for some other things for you. They also have a cool outdoor series, a new women's belts, kids belts, fun things if you're a golfer you can play around with and build yourself some pretty sweet setups for you. And they even have something called the Fairway Series with some fun little plaid belt buckles. So check it all out at grip6.com. I had some thoughts left over from the last dance. We just didn't get to him yesterday, so I wanted to get to him today. The comment was that I made yesterday on the show. I want to share. It's interesting to me about conspiracy theories. So the conspiracy theory has been out there forever that, you know, Carl, that Michael Jordan had to take a 18-month break because of the fact that he was gambling and they had a gambling. And I've always, you know, I don't know what I thought, but I've always thought it was interesting, let me say, that, you know, there's an investigation on him, he quits, and they just stop the investigation. Like, to me, that was always like a red flag. So interesting to me to watch that show. They refute the whole conspiracy theory. They tell you it's all not true. They do all that kind of stuff. And yet, this is the crazy thing about conspiracy theories. The minute you believe a conspiracy theory, even just a little bit, someone can give you all of the reasons in the world of why it's not true. And guess what? You still believe it. That's what I was left with watching that show. They refute it completely. They give you all the series. They have David Stern saying, they have Michael saying, they have the author saying, they tell you all the reasons why this couldn't possibly be true. But if you have like any inkling at all in your brain that that conspiracy theory is true, then what ends up happening is you actually still believe it. Right? It's kind of a funky little thing. I don't know what you do about that because we are laden with conspiracy theories now. And it's like, I actually think that the nasty thing about it is once they're in your head, it might be just absolutely impossible to get them out of your head. The other one that jumped out to me was how incredibly hard it is to win in the NBA. Look at the 1993-94 Orlando Magic. So the 93-94 Orlando Magic, and these guys were too young, but they have a 21-year-old Shaq who averaged 29 points, 13 rebounds a game. A 22-year-old Penny who was just great. Nick Anderson at 26. Dennis Scott, who was just a dead-eye shooter at 25. So they've got this. Larry Kraskowiak was actually on that team. And they're really good. So they're really good. They play their first playoff series. They're too inexperienced. And they get swept. 94-95, they're at Horace Grant. So now they add the 29-year-old because you need that little veteran. They add 28-year-old Brian Shaw. They had a 31-year-old who you don't remember named Anthony Bowie, but he was a pretty nice little player. Like they've suddenly added 20. Donald Royal played 28 minutes a night for them. You know, they added 28-year-old, 29-year-old men to their team. They beat Boston in the first round. They surprised Chicago without Michael. They upset Indiana. That's the series. Like, the Jazz have their series where they lose to the Rockets when Michael's out. The Indiana Pacers series against the Orlando Magic in the 95, no one ever talks about it, it's boring, seven-game series, is Indiana's death. Like, they lose game 7, 105-81. They get smoked. The home teams win all of the games to start. So Indiana smokes Orlando in game 6. And then game 7, like, Reggie Miller has 12 points. And, like, this team that, like, for years knocked on the door, here they had their chance, and they put up you talk to Pacer fans, that has to be, like, ours is the first round series loss to the Rockets. That has to be theirs. Anyway, they then go and play the Rockets and get swept in the finals in a total blowout. And maybe the East was just really bad that year. But the next year, they come back, they win 60 games. They blow out the Pistons, they blow out the Hawks, and then Michael's got a mission and sweeps them. And then it's over. Like, it's over. Shaq leaves. It's gone. Ronnie Cicely replaces Shaq. It's over. Like, it is. That's how hard it is. They were, like, right there. They had everything. It was perfect. And then it was over. And then the 96-97 team loses in the first round of the playoffs to Miami. Then they don't make the playoffs. Then they don't make the playoffs. Then they don't make the playoffs. Then they don't make. Then they lose in the first round of Doc Rivers. Then they lose in the first round of Charlotte. Then they lose in the first round of Detroit. All of a sudden, it's been 10 years. Now they're 21-61, and they're firing Doc Rivers. And now they're terrible again. And then they don't go to the playoffs again until the 06-07 series when they get swept. So they don't win a playoff game until 07-08 when they beat the Raptors with Dwight Howard. Like, be thankful for how what we have, because you're not careful, it goes away that fast and it does not come back. That is a story we should remember. Like, that run I gave you right there, you should never forget that as a Utah Jazz fan, because that's the Orlando Magic. They're not that different than us. And it can just go away that fast. They go back to the finals because of Dwight in 08-09. They then lose in the cup, and then it falls apart again. And they go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they don't win another playoff series. Like, I don't know when. I don't think they've won another playoff series. That's incredible. They have Dwight. They go to the Eastern. They go to the NBA Finals in 08-09. In 09-10, they lose in the Conference Finals. They have not won a playoff series since. Oh, be thankful. What a great franchise we get to follow. It keeps winning and winning and winning. Have a good one. This is Locked On Jazz. Let's see. It's a Tuesday. There's a fun episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board up for you, so make sure you go ask your smart device to play the most recent episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board and go to BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first box.